Good morning. This is Mark Mays, pastor of Grace Baptist Church in Harrisonburg, Virginia. Once again, it's good to be with you today, and we trust that today we could be a blessing to you and to your family. Let's ask the Lord to help us this morning as we spend a few moments together. Father, we're thankful, Lord, for this day. We're thankful, Lord, for the opportunity that you've given to us, Lord, to just to have the Word of God that teaches us, leads us, guides us, directs us, admonishes us. Thank you so much for that. Thank you, Lord, for the certainty of it, Lord, that we can have absolute confidence in your word, that, Father, that it is sure and steadfast, and, Father, that it's without error, without fault. We know, Lord, that the world likes to claim that there is, but, Father, we know, Father, that there is no error because there is no error to be found in you. And we're thankful this morning, Father, for that. We're thankful, Lord, for a new year, 2013, as, Lord, the brand new year coming up, and, Lord, it's been a blessing, Lord, just to have last year in our past, all that you've done for us, all that we could be thankful for. God, thank you for that. This year, Lord, help us to hit our reset button. Help us, Lord, to move forward in our faith, move forward in our service for you. I pray that you'd help this morning to be an asset to us. And Lord, when it all is said and done, may the Lord Jesus Christ be honored and glorified. We ask it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. In our Bibles, in the book of Proverbs, in our church, we have been going through a series, which I've been titling Biblical Principles for Practical Living. And I've also been doing that on the radio for several or for many weeks now. I'm continuing that same theme throughout the first part of 2013. We're in chapter 16 of the book of Proverbs. We are in verse 18 and 19, and those verses tell us this: pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. And then in verse 19 it says, better is it to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. Obviously, these two verses are speaking about pride. Pride goeth before destruction, and it's better to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil of the proud. You know, the sin of pride is a very ugly sin. It is also a sin that God lists there in Proverbs 6, verse 16 through 17, when God records for us these words: these six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him, a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. That verse says a proud look. That's the first one on the list of the six things that the Lord hates, and yea, seven are an abomination. The very first one that he lists is a proud look. You know, we live in a day and age, particularly we in America, we suffer from this sin of pride. It is so prevalent in our society today. And unfortunately, it's prevalent in our churches. It's prevalent in Christianity. It has no place there, but unfortunately, it abides there. And as we think about it this morning, I want you to do yourself a favor, and I'll do myself a favor, and let God speak to our heart about this area of pride. Is it a sin in which we are involved in? So often we think about the world's sins. We think about drunkenness or drug use or perversion or immorality or whatever. And we hear a lot about that, and there's nothing wrong with hearing about that. Certainly we ought to be guarded against that. But sometimes we forget that pride is a very prevalent sin in many of our lives, and it is as prevalent in a Christian's life as it is in a non-believer's life. And that God hates it just as much. Now, God doesn't hate the sinner. He doesn't hate any sinner, for God so loved the world. But he hates the sin. And so God would hate the sin of pride in a Christian's life as much as he would hate it in an unbeliever's life. And so this morning, I want you and I want myself to ask ourselves as we go through this, is pride in my heart and in my life? And unfortunately, the very presence of pride itself could cause us to not see the sin of pride, because if you would, we would be too proud to admit that we are proud. But may God help us. May the Holy Spirit speak to our hearts concerning this. I believe it was Matthew Henry said this: pride will have a fall. Not if or might, but pride will have a fall. Those that are of a haughty spirit and think of themselves above what is proper and look with contempt upon others, that with their pride affront God and disquiet others, will be brought down either by repentance or by ruin. Either by repentance or by ruin. In other words, what he's saying is this: pride will have a day of reckoning. And God is going to deal with it. Either we will confess it and repent of it, or we will be ruined by it. But pride will not be allowed to stay and abide in our heart. In other words, there's a price to be paid. We often hear the phrase that the decisions have consequences, and how true that is. And pride is a decision that we make. You know, pride is not, there's no genetic error in your genes that causes you to be proud. Pride, being proud or having pride, is a choice you make. It's to think highly of yourself. It's to think above yourself what or who you really are. There are some evils of pride, and I cannot give the proper credit to whom this belongs, but it's not for me. But someone listed five evils of pride, and number one, they've said it is based on falsity. In other words, pride, the very idea of being proud is based upon something that's not even true. The idea is simply this: for what has the richest or the strongest or the cleverest man, what has the most beautiful or the most honored woman that he or she has not received? In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7, the Bible teaches us this: for who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hadst not received it? Think about that. Why dost thou glory as if thou hast not received it? In other words, whatever we have because it's been given to us. I know that pride today says, you know, the self-made man and all this kind of stuff. But the reality is everything, if you happen to be have the ability and you're intelligent and you can think and reason, the only reason you can do this is because God has given you that ability. You didn't make it happen. It's not because you're really so smart. It's because God's given you that ability. And so what happens, why do we act as if we have really been the one who's caused it, when in reality we're only the one who's received it? And so 1 Corinthians 4 asks a great question. Now if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hadst not received it, when in reality you have? So we have it false. The evil of pride, number one, is based on something that's false, something that's not true. Number two, it is irreverent and ungrateful, for it is constantly forgetful of the heavenly source of all of our blessings. Number three, someone said this, it is ugly and offensive in the sight of men. The sin of pride is ugly and it's offensive in the sight of men. You know, people don't like to be around somebody who's proud and arrogant and condescending. They got an attitude of superiority. It's an ugly sin, and it often, you know, what may not be said to your face will often be said behind your face or behind your back, so to speak, because people do not find a boastful, proud, arrogant person somebody that they want to spend a lot of time with. So it's an ugly and it's an offensive sin in the sight of not only God but of man as well. It is repeatedly and severely condemned by God as a serious sin. You know, we ought to take note of that one. God often and severely condemns the sin of pride. God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. God is definitely, clearly on record as being against the sin of pride. Number five of the evils of pride that someone put together this list, it says it is spiritual perilous in very high degree. In other words, it's going to bring ruin. It's going to bring harm. As Matthew Henry said, as I quoted earlier, pride will have a fall, either by repentance or by ruin. The Bible says in Proverbs 11:12, when pride cometh, then cometh shame, but with the lowly is wisdom. Notice that, when pride cometh, then cometh shame. It's not if, but it's when. Proverbs 17, verse 19, he loveth transgression that loveth strife, and he that exalteth his gate seeketh destruction. Think of that. He that exalteth his gate, he's promoting himself. At the same time, though he doesn't realize it, he's seeking his own destruction, and he's sure to find it. In Proverbs 18, verse 12, before destruction, the heart of man is haughty, and before honor is humility. You know, it's just going to take place. Pride will have a fall, either by repentance or by ruin. In the book of Esther, when Haman saw that Mordecai bowed not, nor did him reverence, then was Haman full of wrath. many of us are familiar with the story there in the book of Esther and how that Haman refused to bow down before Mordecai. And Mordecai was so full of himself, so proud. How dare anybody not bow down before me, he thought. Don't you realize who I am? Don't you realize how important I am? Don't you realize how significant I am to the king? And boy, he was full of wrath. Oh, he was so mad at Mordecai because of this. Not only was he going to get Mordecai, but all of the Jews. The Bible says in Esther 6:6, so Haman came in. And the king said unto him, what shall be done unto the man whom the king delighteth to honor? Now Haman thought in his heart, to whom would the king delight to do honor more than to myself? Boy, here's a conceited man. Here's a narcissistic man. He's a man that says, you know, here the king wants to do something good for somebody. He's clearly thinking about me. He must want to do something good for me. And so Haman comes up with this grand idea. Boy, I'm going to look good. And so he gives this idea. This is what you ought to do, king, for that person that you want to bring honor to, thinking the whole time that it was himself. What a proud, arrogant individual he was. But as the Bible teaches us that a haughty spirit cometh before a fall, we read in Esther chapter 7, verse 10, so they hanged Haman on the gallows that he had prepared for Mordecai, then was the king's wrath pacified. And so pride came in Haman's life, but it led to his fall. In his case, it came by ruin and not by repentance. Destruction was on the way because Haman was a man that was full of pride. He was full of himself. The Bible says in the book of Isaiah chapter 2, verse 11 through 12, it says, the lofty looks of man shall be humbled, and the haughtiness of men shall be bowed down, and the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. For the day of the Lord of hosts shall be upon every one that is proud and lofty, and upon every one that is lifted up, and he shall be brought low. You know, God simply is against pride. I wonder this morning, are we full of pride? Do we think that we are something? Do we think that we're better than somebody? Or do we act that way? We read in our Bibles in the book of Daniel, chapter 4, the great lesson that King Nebuchadnezzar learned. Oh, how he thought he was somebody. He was much like Haman, and perhaps even worse. He thought he was the cat's meow. I mean, he was somebody. And that he had built all these kingdoms and done all these wonderful things. But God was about to teach him a lesson. And we don't have time this morning to go through it all, but most of us are familiar with this. But at the end there in Daniel chapter 4, verses 30 through 37, toward the end of that, the Bible teaches us this. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heavens, all whose works are truth and his ways judgments. And those that walk in pride, he is able to abase. And those that walk in pride, he is able to abase. Nebuchadnezzar learned a lesson that it was God who exalted one above the other. It was God who made one a king and the other not. It was God who was in control, not Nebuchadnezzar. He learned his lesson, difficult. He fell. And in this case, he fell. And it was repentance, though, that helped him at the end of his life. And so we see that the sin of pride is a sin that is an ugly sin. The Bible says in Matthew 23:12, and whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. I wonder this morning as we start 2013, are we full of ourselves? Are we so impressed with ourselves that we think we're better? We deserve the best seating. We deserve the best pay raise. We deserve the position. We deserve the attention. We deserve whatever. We're proud. Do we talk down to people? Do we think that we're better than somebody because of our position in life? Is our attitude one that sort of just, dare I say this, stinks? Sometimes we say you got a stinky attitude. You know, sometimes there are people that have a stinky attitude. And you know, there's sometimes it's Christians that have a stinky attitude, a bad attitude. It's unpleasant to those around. It's even unpleasant to family members that have somebody who's full of pride. And so we see this sin of pride. God hates it. Men hate it. Men despise it. Men don't like it when they're the ones who are being placed under it. Now, often they like it when they think themselves worthy of it. But if somebody is beginning to act more superior than them, then they begin to disdain it or dislike it. And so this morning, may the Holy Spirit challenge each and every one of us. If I start a new year, may I start it humbled. I'm humbled by the presence of God. I'm humbled by the very fact that God loves me. I'm humbled that God has forgiven me of my sins. I'm humbled because God would dare take upon himself my sin and my shame and my sorrow. I'm humbled that he shed his blood on the cross of Calvary. I'm humbled that he's offered to me salvation. I'm humbled that he's removed my sins as far as the east is from the west. I'm humbled because God has allowed me to be a part of his family, and I clearly do not deserve that. I'm humbled because God is so good, and I don't deserve it. I'm humbled because everything I have, it's been given to me. There's a lot of reasons to be humble, and there's a lot of reasons not to be proud. God resists the proud, and it gives grace to the humble. You want to have a good year this year? Be a humble person. And God can exalt us and lift us up and help us. You want to have a bad year? Be full of yourself. Be arrogant. Be condescending. Be full of pride. And your year will be a miserable year. But your year can be a great year if you'll humble yourself before the mighty God that has made us all. I thank you for listening. I hope you have a great day. And I hope you have even a better year.